time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and we are privileged today to have on our own program Mrs. Sandra Tipton to discuss some of the things that happened in Galveston. Welcome to your program, Sandra.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be back here in Lake Charles at Port Mercy.
Now, Sandra, as a result of Hurricane Ike and the destruction that happened there, God laid on your heart, you and Don's heart, to go to Galveston. What were you hoping to accomplish there?
Well, Jeff, from the time that Hurricane Ike hit, of course, we felt the effects here in Lake Charles as well. We decided to respond, and we responded to the immediate community and then just started going further and further away from Port Mercy to help the more affected communities. But our hearts were really to help Galveston for one reason, because before Friendships moved to Lake Charles, we'd been based in Galveston for about 8 to 10 years. And the port and the city there were very good to us. They hosted us for at least 8 years with no charge. And we felt like it was an opportunity to give back to a community that had been very helpful and loving to us. And we had friends there. But we needed to wait until the time was right, because initially, if you recall, the authorities were not allowing the people to come back on the island because the sanitation, the water, the electricity were not in place. So we waited until that period. Then Don and I went to Galveston to check it out. And frankly, we were shocked at what we saw, because I think of the lack of the media coverage because of the election and the economic crisis eventually. There was very little news available. But Galveston had really been devastated. There hadn't been, praise God, a significant loss of life. Some people are still missing, so that's really is yet to be determined. But there had been a tremendous property damage to 75% of the homes and probably an equal amount, a number of businesses. They really needed our help. So when we went to check things out, we saw, as you drove into the city, you saw a whole marina practically full of yachts and big, large boats up on the side of the freeway. They probably had been on the highway at one time and moved over to the side. Then not a tremendous amount of wind damage, but a lot of water damage. Lots of homes that looked okay on the outside, but if you approach them or you started to see the people working in them, they were having to be gutted on the first floor. If you had a second floor and your second floor didn't crumble when your first floor got hit, you were okay on the second floor, but the first floor was just devastated. So that's what we found when we went there. And the normal helpers were there, FEMA and Salvation Army and the Red Cross, but we didn't see a lot of other organizations like you did for Katrina or even here for Rita. There were some wonderful groups, and in the end, you know, there was much, much help done in the name of the Lord, good Christian groups there, but just didn't have the kind of appeal, I guess, because people really didn't know and don't know to this day really what happened to Galveston.
Yeah. If I remember right, the former presidents came in to try and raise money for that as well, and they didn't even get much attention, did they?
No, you know, I was really amazed to hear that they came there to raise money, and to that point, they had raised only $1.5 million. Now, this is President Clinton and Senior President Bush. At the same time for Katrina, I'm sure they'd raised hundreds of millions. So that gives you an idea. And all of us groups that were working, we were feeling that same effect. But, you know, one of the most amazing things for our work here at Friendships, Jeff, is that we're really not dependent on what finances come in. I mean, we need finances and we spend money, but it is the Spirit of the Lord that leads us and cares for us. So that was one thing that I'd really like to talk about, is that when we made the decision to go to Galveston, we had recently given away all the stores of frozen food that we had. So we had food to feed the crew, but we didn't have food to do a large-scale feeding program like we usually do during a disaster. We didn't have fuel for the ships, just a minimal amount, enough to get there and run for a while, but then not enough to come home. And we didn't have funds to buy the food. We didn't have any funds coming in specifically for Galveston. But we felt like the Lord said to go. So as soon as we started moving in that direction, everything we needed came to us. we got a call out of the blue of chicken that we could have, and we ended up with well over a semi-load of chicken. I think it was probably somewhere around 60,000 pounds of chicken, and we turned some down. We could have had even more than that. And then we had people come to us. We had two people purchase fuel for us, all without really even asking. I mean, we'd let people know what we were doing, but the Lord provided everything. And even every day as we would work, we would see this happen. One incident that just makes me smile is that Terry, our daughter and the head of our food operations, we were working with our smokers that take wood to cook the chicken. And we had just run out. The chef turned to her and said, "We're out of wood. What are we going to do?" And she said she didn't even have time to sit down and think about it when a guy pulled up and said, "I am here from Florida and I'm trimming trees and I can bring you wood every day."
Wow.
So that's just a small thing, but those are the things that really make us smile, because all these small things add up to the big thing,
yeah,
which is that we were able to feed 1,500 to 2,000 people dinner every night. We were able to do it like outdoor cafe style. Mm-hmm. That was very welcoming and very healing in and of itself, that people could get out of the homes that they were working in and all the mold, and possibly they could have hooked up something to try to cook themselves dinner in that mess. But how nice it was that they could, yeah, set that work aside, come to this nice outdoor cafe with white tablecloths and people waiting on them and a candle, mm-hmm, on the table,
yeah,
get some good, good chow, and sit down and relax,
you know,
and
that,
have a nice
that
drink.
That was a little unique, because we did see ministries there that were giving away quite a bit of stuff and some hot meals, but it was more of a drive-through thing. But Friendships elected to do a sit-down dining with the tables and the full works. Do you see the real benefit of doing that, or was that a plan, or is it just the way God has moved?
Well, you know, more and more we've been doing that, Jeff. And actually, the first time that we did it quite that way was right here out of Port Mercy. If you were in this community, you may remember, after Hurricane Rita hit, we got off the ship, went out the door, and set this thing up. Basically, the first time we'd ever done it like that, right here outside of Port Mercy. And we saw then that it was a great thing, because this terrible thing has happened to the neighborhood. And especially when you've got no power, you've got no news, you don't know what's going on, and you can just go down, sit down, your neighbors come, sit down, you can talk about it, what's the next step, get information, get some goods that you need, get a nice hot meal, which, you know, MREs are great, and we use those for the first few days, but after that, you like to have a nice home-cooked meal.
Yeah. And that's exactly what the hardworking crew did there in Galveston. I mean, they not only provided the MREs and different supplies, but I mean, they really put an extra effort into making it like a home-cooked meal that they could enjoy in the dining area. We saw a lot of people that normally wouldn't talk to each other sit down and share, laugh, and like you said, connect the dots to be able to help each other. And it became like a community within the community. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it definitely did. And we got to know a lot of the people that came on a regular basis. And then the icing on the cake. When we were setting up, some men in blue shirts approached us, and they had a little sign on their chest that said Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And they said, "Hi, we're here with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association Rapid Response Team. And we're trained to be dispatched in times of emergency to go around and give people spiritual nourishment. And could we pray for you?" And Don and I said, "Well, absolutely. But, you know, we'd also like you to come back and pray for the 2,000 dinner guests that we're expecting in a few hours." So they were excited about that, because that was their work. And it was a nice central place for them to base for the evening. So after that, every evening, about when we'd open at 3:00, we'd have a team of Billy Graham chaplains come in, and they would sit at the tables and they would visit with the people and talk to them about the circumstances, but eventually lead them to asking them, "How is your spirit, man? How is your spirit holding up to this?" And that would open the door for a spiritual conversation. And many people decided to follow Jesus. The Billy Graham chaplains gave a beautiful account of what it was to be a Christian, and they'd give them written material and show them what it meant to become a Christian. And many of them made that decision that night. And I guess that was the most exciting thing to us at Friendships, because we know that what started out as a terrible tragedy in these people's lives was the starting point of a whole new life with Jesus. And there were many people there, of course, that were Christians already, but it was so good to have somebody to pray with them and encourage them and remind them of the scriptures. And the Rapid Response Team has these wonderful books that go through every aspect of the different things that you feel when you go through something like this. Was it my fault? Was I stupid somehow? I could have prevented more damage. where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. You know, and so it goes through each one of those things and gives counsel and scriptures to support those things. So that was a great thing that happened. We also had many of our old friends, Roger Surratt and Bill Henderson, yeah. great men of God that would come down and they would sing and speak to people, give testimonies and make it like a nightclub in some ways, you know, just a very warm atmosphere. We had some of the teams that came. We had teams from all over the states come and work, and many of them sang and participated in that aspect of it. But they also went out house to house. We got addresses of people that were very in need, like because they were elderly or handicapped, that had registered with the city of Galveston. And we worked with the city officials to give us those addresses. And we would go to those homes and help the people by helping them sort through their belongings and salvage what they could, or in some cases to actually even gut the first floor and move all the stuff out to the street so that it could be picked up before the debris removal period had expired. So those teams would come, and then we even had people stop by. Like there was a wonderful group of ladies in their 70s that came and sang worship music and kind of danced, and well, they were just great. And it just brought a smile to everybody's face. It was great. So we're really happy with the mission to Galveston.
Yeah. If you noticed, if you stood still for a little bit and looked out, traffic was slowing down to see what was going on that corner of 51st and Broadway. I mean, it rivaled the things down at the seawall.
Yeah.
We had people stopping just to see what this was all about.
Yeah, the Lord provided a very high-profile corner. Mm-hmm. It was a car lot at one time at 51st and Broadway, if you know Galveston. And, you know, this is an example. I'm glad you brought up that location, Jeff, because this is an example of people saying yes to God and what it can do. We were looking for a location. We had gone to various places that were owned by corporations, and everything was moving slow like it does sometimes with big corporations. And then we saw this lot. We thought it could work. We found out that a local restaurant called the Mosquito Cafe, very popular local restaurant, had purchased that property. So we went over to see the owners there, and their location, their cafe had been devastated. It still is under repair. They're getting it back together. But we spoke to the woman who owned it, her and her husband owned it, and she just said, you know, that sounds great. It'll really help the people. And absolutely. I mean, in 2 minutes, we were out of there with permission to set it up. And because she said yes, thousands and thousands of people benefited in so many ways. Mm. And they were so happy. They called us and said they were honored to have been a part of it and everything. So I just encourage you to take advantage of the opportunities that God brings before you. Even something like this, they're in the midst of a major disaster themselves. They could have felt like, no, we don't want to get involved in that. We've got enough on our table right now. But her immediate response was, yes, that sounds good. We're going to do that. And whether they're Christians, I don't know. But I believe the Lord led her to say yes. And because she did, we were in the perfect location for high visibility where everybody knew where we were in case they needed a meal.
Oh, and it turned out to be a beautiful, beautiful, relaxing spot for so many people that had so much chaos going on. I remember one night in particular, we were standing talking, and all of a sudden you got quiet and you looked out over the place with the Christmas lights and the settings and people interacting, and you just smiled. And I could see by your eyes, you were thinking, this is it. This is what all that hard work is about.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And that is the satisfaction that you get, like a heart reward, you know, like no other, you know, because it is a lot of hard work. And our people, they work all year round to be ready to do something like this. You got to be prepared so you can swing into action. Once we're there, our team usually works 12, 16 hours a day for the period of time that we're there. As much as we try to find ways to reduce that, that's actually what happens when we're deployed in a situation like that. And they're happy to do it. You talk to any of the crew, and this is what they live for. So that's what I was feeling at that moment. You're right. It's just that heart satisfaction. We know that the Lord has many rewards for us when we help people in need in the afterlife, but He also in this life here on earth. Yeah. And, you know, there's no way to describe or to compare that kind of satisfaction to anything else.
And it seems like sometimes there's a ministry within the ministry. Even those that come to minister to others are being ministered to. It's just beautiful.
Absolutely. You know, I noticed that most in our food ministry in Los Angeles, where we ran it for about 18 years, I think, and fed about 60 million pounds of food. Mm-hmm. It was run primarily by church volunteers that would come on Saturday. We'd collect the food all week, but then they would take it out. And time after time, you'd hear the testimonies and just see a transformation in the people that came. That all of a sudden their life was so much richer because they knew that they could be of value to the Lord, that he could use them. He would give them divine opportunities to love on people and to help meet their needs and to pray with them. And, you know, that's what we feel when we're out there. We even had Dr. Cox out there doing chiropractic work, and he was a very busy man in that kind of situation. A lot of people need chiropractic work.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of people taken out of their normal everyday thing. Now they're forced to carry things out of their houses, and you tend to overlook those things. Well, let me ask you, Sandra, because when you set out to undertake a mission such as Galveston, you probably have a plan of action. But how do things turn out compared to that original strategy? And do you have to be flexible for that?
Oh, yeah. You know, flexibility, Jeff, I think is one of the most important things. And just like being a member of a group like Friendships day to day on a daily basis. But you're right. As you plan a mission like this, you can plan the perimeter of it. You know what you're going to start to do, for example, and you know basically what your goals are. But unless you stay flexible, then you're really not responding to the need, because every disaster is completely different. You don't really know until you're right in the middle of it what is the biggest need. You know, roofing, for example, roofing was extremely important here in Lake Charles. People's homes were getting further destroyed because they didn't have a decent tarp over their roof. That wasn't the case in Galveston. There wasn't a lot of high wind damage, only in isolated areas. There was this flood damage. So it was a totally different thing. If we go in and saying, we're going to do roofing, well, the food service turned out to be one of the most important things there. And the, you know, the home cleaning and the gutting. So it is really important to keep a flexible attitude, even on a daily basis, for what you'll be doing. Our crew, that's one of the greatest things about them, is that they learn right away that you don't last too long at Friendships if you're not flexible, because plans change quickly. For example, our crew is in Los Angeles working on a project when Hurricane Ike hit. Well, all of a sudden, boom, closed down that project, came home to do this. And, you know, if you're not flexible, then you're in a constant state of frustration.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the question of the difficult decision of when it's time to leave. How do you determine when to leave? Or is that even a fair question?
You have to just kind of feel that out based on what type of services you're offering. Like, there are other groups that are still there that are involved in the long-term recovery. It's not time for them to leave. There are still a lot of long-term recovery needs, and people could really be helped. And if you have a chance to go with the church group and help, I would really recommend it, because there's still a lot of very productive work to do there. Since we had felt led by the Lord to concentrate on the food service, and power had been restored and stores were open, we were feeling that winding down in that regard, because now people were getting to a point where they could purchase their own food, they could cook it because they had power, so they could use the water, things like that. So we have to just kind of feel that timing. You know, I wanted to mention too, Jeff, that we had a couple of local churches come out and help, and they were tremendous. Glad Tidings and Christ Community came and spent several days with us and helped gut homes and helped feed at the kitchen, and it was just tremendous. So we encourage you to get involved in projects like this. You just won't be sorry.
And you know what, Sandra, those two groups came at about the time that everybody seemed to be running out of steam. So it was a beautiful timing on this that really came and gave us that second wind.
Yeah, you know, that's something to keep in mind if you're asked to be a part of a team to go respond to a disaster, is that you're coming in fresh. And for people like the Friendships team that had been not only in Galveston for 6 weeks or whatever it was, but we'd also been like 2-3 weeks on here full steam right from the time of Ike hitting, we're getting tired. And it is such a blessing to have a fresh team come in and see everything through their eyes. You know, it really encourages us.
Yeah. One other thing I noticed is that the residents of Galveston were very grateful. Is that unusual, or is that usually what happens when you do disaster relief?
Yeah, you know, it's a different thing from like when we do our humanitarian aid missions. Depending on what country we go to, people are either grateful or they're used to a welfare type mentality and they're not so grateful and they're used to working the system. And, you know, I don't mean to be critical, because when you're in a country where you're scrapping to feed your family, it's very easy to want to work a system, because that's how you provide for your family, through working the system. But it's a little bit frustrating for relief workers who are in there doing their best, and you can't help everybody and you can't meet all their needs. So if they're not grateful, it's kind of discouraging. However, when a disaster hits, everybody's in need, and they're usually really easy to work with. They're really happy for the help that they're getting. A lot of the people that you're helping are not people that are used to needing help. And you know what I think, Jeff, is that when we would go to ex-communist countries that were not used to receiving aid because they had been communist and now they were free. So for the first time, they're experiencing some group of people in a foreign country working hard to load up a bunch of donated items and sail a ship across and give it to them. They were looking at us like, this has got to be God, because why would you care about us? And not only care about us, but go through all this trouble and even risk your life basically to come here in trouble. And we have to live through these circumstances, but you're here by choice. And that's kind of how I feel about disaster relief. People see it for what it really is. It's people motivated by the Spirit of the Lord to act in a way that is contrary to common human behavior and be extraordinarily generous. And that's what I like about it, because I feel like people see the Lord.
Amen. Listen, without putting a mission accomplished sign up in the background on the ship, do you think that what Friendship set out to do in Galveston was accomplished?
Yeah, you know, we always analyze it. How can we improve next time? We see things we thought we could do better, but basically, we're quite happy about it. And I want to really thank the community, because we did get a lot of support, love, prayers, and people listening to the show and rooting us on, cheering us on, and hearing what we're doing there. I really appreciate that. Lake Charles community is a huge blessing to Friendships. It's just home, really a good, loving home.
Well, you said something about the importance of prayer, and obviously they're still feeling the effects of the hurricane in Galveston. So if you were going to ask people to pray for the residents in Galveston, how would you ask them to pray?
Yeah. Pray, one, that they would be encouraged, that they would have hope, that their needs would be met, but also that their minds and their hearts and their spirit would not be destroyed, would not be downtrodden. I think that would be probably the greatest thing, because as we all know, when your spirit is low, it's hard to be optimistic about anything. And they have a big job ahead of them. You know, the people of Lake Charles in this community, Southwest Louisiana, are, I'm sure, particularly sensitive to this issue, because we've all faced it, of suddenly, out of nowhere, a storm comes and everything that you've worked and saved for all of your life is damaged or gone. You don't necessarily have funds to replace it, and it's a scary situation.
Sandra, do you have a scripture of the day for us?
Yeah, you know, it's a little long, so bear with me, but it's so beautiful. Since we're talking about giving of ourselves and serving other people that are in need, I'd like to read in Isaiah 58, and we have a translation from the Living Bible. No, the kind of fast I want is for you to stop oppressing those who work for you and treat them fairly and give them what they earn. I want you to share your food with the hungry and bring right into your own homes those who are helpless, poor, and destitute. Clothe those who are cold, and don't hide from relatives who need your help. If you do these things, God will shed his own glorious light upon you. He will heal you. Your godliness will lead you forward. Goodness will be a shield before you, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here." He will quickly reply. All you need to do is to stop oppressing the weak and stop making false accusations and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as day, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you with all good things and keep you healthy too. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen. Goes right along with what you've been speaking about here today, and also leading us into Christmas. I think this is a scripture to remember, Isaiah 58. And let's remember our brothers and sisters in Galveston this Christmas.
Yes, please.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, so we're going to have to thank you all for listening today, and we'd like to invite you back next time on Radio Friendships. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-4444. 5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.